I'm Johnny. I lead the team here in Bognor. So good to see so many faces this morning, so many different faces. I'm married to Kim. She's out doing youth today. And we've got three kids all in kids' work out there today. And one thing you probably do know about me, if you know me, if you don't, you'll discover, I enjoy watching sport. It's one of the things I do enjoy. So I'm very much looking forward to a summer of Olympics first, the pinnacle of sporting prowess. But also, I'm really, really looking forward to, way more than I probably should, the Euros that are coming up. And I've become so invested that I really liked England's shirt, so I bought three. One for myself and three for my children. That's how invested I am in the Euros this year. And because there's not many battles that happen that are greater than those on the football field. It is a great place to... I'm very much excited. As you can tell, right? I'm really excited for the Euros. But today we're not focusing on a football battle. No. We are in our penultimate series on the Good News series. And we are going to be focusing on particularly not the practical side of sharing our faith. We've focused on that quite a lot. Today we're going to be focusing a little bit more on the spiritual battle side of things. That area of things. So we're not going to be focusing on the practical stuff of sharing the gospel. So inviting somebody to the curry night, make sure you're doing that. I know Simon said the cutoff is midnight today. I'm going to say if you're late, that's fine. But to his disapproval. But we're focusing, however, today not on the practicals really, but on the spiritual battle. So today we're going to be in Ephesians 6. So if you have a Bible, why don't you turn to Ephesians 6? It is a fairly well-known verse, and we're going to be hopping around it, searching around it. But I want to base it on two particular questions this morning. Number one, who are we fighting and how should we fight? So when we're talking about spiritual battles, who are we fighting and how should we fight? Who's our opposition? And how should we fight them? To fully answer these questions, I think it's important that we grasp what we are talking about when we say spiritual battle. What is a spiritual battle? What does that mean? So by mentioning spiritual warfare or spiritual battle, I think there are going to be people across the room and you're going to be slightly divided, I think. C.S. Lewis, who wrote The Lion, the Witch, and the Wardrobe, he also wrote another book, and it's called The Screwtape Letters. I highly recommend it as a book. It's brilliant. It's a fictional book about an uncle demon called Screwtape, and he is writing letters to his nephew, Wormwood, who is also a demon. And in his preface, obviously. And this is what he writes. This is what he says. There are two equal and opposite errors into which our race, so humans, can fall when we think about devil and demons, and let me add in spiritual battles. Right? One is to disbelieve in their existence. The other is to believe and to feel an excessive and unhealthy interest in them. They, that's demons and the spiritual realms, are equally pleased with both errors. It's just a helpful one. So on that scale of total disbelief and unhealthy interest, which side do you slide towards more? Where would you lean? And the question is, how can we avoid leaning too far one way or the other? How can we avoid going over spiritual or under spiritualizing the journey of life and battles that we face? Well, firstly, we can make our supernatural faith super and natural. We can make our supernatural faith super and natural. There is something supernatural about being a Christian, right? There is something that we can't understand, can't fathom about God and who he is. We must not obsess, but we must not ignore that spiritual battles are constantly happening around us. And sometimes we miss that or unaware of that. But live the Christian life by making our supernatural faith super and natural. So what do I mean by that? What does that look like? Well, here's an example, right? Someone doesn't want to come to the curry night. So someone you've spoken to doesn't want to come to the curry night. Is it supernatural? Is there a spiritual battle happening there? Or is it just life circumstances? Which one is it? Is it spiritual or life circumstances? So is it spiritual? Maybe they've got some beef with Jesus. Maybe they've got some beef with the church. Maybe stuff gets in the way when you try and talk to them about God. Maybe there is a spiritual battle that's happening there. But it might be circumstances. They just don't like curry, right? It might be that. It might be that they're anxious because they don't know anybody. Doesn't mean that it's spiritual. Is it just circumstance or is it spiritual? So what should we do then? What should we do about that? Well, we need to make our supernatural faith super and natural. We make it super by praying. Pray that they want to come. Pray, before you invite somebody to come into the current, pray that they would just are receptive to it. Pray that they have a free evening on next Saturday. Pray when you send them a text. All right? We can not over-spiritualize it. We're not praying that they then, oh, their taste buds change and they like curry. But can you see the difference in what we're praying for? All right? And we need to be natural by just being normal, normalizing our faith. Right, just chat about offering to pay for them to come, if money is an obstacle. Chat about babysitting for them. Chat about why church is uninteresting for them. Why is that you find church like that? Yeah? It's likely that the God they don't believe in is the same God that you don't believe in, more often than not. Chat about their church experiences, and it might change how they just view what you believe and what they believe. When it comes to spiritual battles that we encounter in life, the process of a Christian is to make our supernatural faith, because it is a supernatural faith that we have. Jesus has made us alive. Jesus has died on a cross and risen from the dead. Right? This is miraculous stuff. There is something supernatural in our faith. So we need to make our faith super and natural. Okay, so just have that in mind as we explore this. So we're going to go back to those questions. How do we fight and who are we fighting in our spiritual lives as we share the gospel? And so let's see what God says in Ephesians 6. Ephesians 6, famous verse 10. Finally, he's come to the end of his book, Paul here. Finally, be strong in the Lord and in his mighty power. Put on the full armor of God so that you can take a stand against the devil's schemes. Really important, verse 12. For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the powers of this dark world, and against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms. What are we to do? Therefore, put on the full armor of God so that when the day of evil comes, you may stand your ground. And after you have done everything to stand, stand firm then, with the belt of truth buckled around your waist and the breastplate of righteousness in place, with your feet fitted with the readiness that comes from the gospel of peace. In addition to all this, take up the shield of faith on which you can extinguish the flaming arrows of the evil one. Take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. Verse 18, and pray in the Spirit on all occasions, with all kinds of prayers and requests. With this in mind, be alert and always keep on praying for all the Lord's people. Pray also for me, that whenever I speak, words may be given to me so that I will fearlessly make known the mystery of the gospel for which I am an ambassador in chains. Pray that I may declare it fearlessly as I should. I'm just going to pray for us. Just where I'm saying everything is a spiritual battle, there is a spiritual battle happening. I'm just going to pray for us this morning. God, I just pray as we open your word, I pray, Holy Spirit, will you bring to life your goodness? Will you bring to life your character and your love and your mercy? Will you bring just a realization of who it is that we're fighting, but the hope we have in Jesus? Lord, we want you to be our encouragement as we go into the world, as we share the gospel with people. I pray, Lord, that we hold firm to the gospel of truth. Amen. Amen. So, first question, who are we fighting? If we look at verse 12, it's very clear. Paul says this, for our struggle, that's a tussle. There's a tussle that's happening there. There's a battle. There's a war. There's a fight. There's an enemy. Okay? For our struggle is not against flesh and blood. That includes all human beings. Did you catch that? It involves all human beings. Even those in governmental parties that you don't like during the election, all right, they are not your enemy. This is who is. But the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms. Who are Christians fighting? Who are we fighting is the devil and not people. The devil and not people. I just want to very, very quickly correct our thinking on who the devil is. He is not some red-horned cartoon. That's not who he is, by popular opinion. He is also not this. Okay, if by the devil you mean an equal power to God, but it is the opposite. So God is fully good, and the devil is fully bad. Right? His power is bad power. God's power is good power. If it's opposites, it's not that. Right? Satan, God has no opposite. God has no equal to him. All right? There is no opposite good badness to his goodness. Right? He has no rival. He has no equal. We sing it, don't we? There is no, he is not, his power is unfathomable. That's who our God is. I believe in angels, and I think that some of these angels, coming to who is the devil here, I think that by their abuse of their free will, they have become enemies of God. And these are called devils, right? They do not differ in being, they don't differ in power from good angels, but they are broken and they are evil. Devil is opposite to angel. Can you see the difference? There is a big difference between devil being opposite to God and opposite to angel. There's a big, big difference. Satan, he is the dictator of all devils. He is the opposite, not of God, but of angels. It's very, very important. So if we are fighting the devil and not people, then it shouldn't surprise us that when we share that we think Jesus is great, right? So James saying, God just transformed me. It was amazing. And now he's sharing with people. I'll come to the curry night. It shouldn't surprise us that that falls on deaf ears. It shouldn't surprise us that people are unmoved about something that moves us to the point where we are just like overwhelmed by his grace. 2 Corinthians 4, verse 4. In their case, the God of this age, it's the devil and his cronies, right? They have blinded the minds of the unbelievers to keep them from seeing the light of the gospel, of the glory of Christ. And so what we can sometimes do with that is we can make this verse sound, it's like them and us. Oh, they're the problem. That's the problem. Those blind out there and us enlightened Christians in here, oh, look at us. No, that's not Paul's message. That is not Paul's message at all. This verse should break our heart for mission. This should break our heart, not divide us, but just say, I want those people to know Jesus. There's no way people in this world are going to know Jesus unless we are loving them and showing them the grace of God. And if you ever feel like, oh, those poor blind out there, I'm so glad I'm in here. I feel really safe on a Sunday. I love coming to church on a Sunday morning because I feel really safe. Right, listen to Paul again. So Paul wrote that verse in 2 Corinthians, but he also wrote this in Ephesians 2. He reminds us that before Christ turns us around, this is what we were. Do not forget who we were and what we were. It starts with this. You were dead. You were dead in your trespasses and sins, in which you previously walked according to the ways of this world, according to the ruler of the power of the air. The devil's job is to fuddle us from seeing the true beauty of Christ. Right? That's who we were. That's what we were. We too all previously lived among them in our fleshly desires. Verse 4, but God. But God, who is rich in mercy because of his great love that he had for us, made us alive with Christ, even though we were dead in our trespasses. We must not forget who we were, otherwise we forget who the enemy is. We think, oh no, I've got to fight people. No. Who is our enemy? Paul finishes with this line, you are saved by grace. That's how we're saved. That's how we're transformed. That's how the world is transformed. It's when they see the grace of God, when the grace of God comes alive to them. The devil tries to fuddle. The devil tries to create disunity within humanity. However, we have a hope that Christ brings, that me, you, and anyone who comes to faith in Jesus is saved by grace and grace alone, nothing else. So our battle in mission is not with people, but with evil. We need to be aware that our mission, our message, you inviting somebody to a curry night is going to fall on deaf ears, but we need to trust that the Holy Spirit will bring life and something fresh and something new in people. Right? The devil is who we fight, but then how? How do we fight? I might be fighting evil and not people when I share the gospel, but how do we fight? Paul describes it in two ways in Ephesians 6 that we've just read. Number one is the armor of God. If you've been in church for a while, you're like, yeah, know the armor of God, know that, yeah, cool. Well, good for you. I'm not going to be going into detail about the armor of God or each item. If you want to know more about it, why don't you read it this week? This week, why don't you go back to Ephesians 6, read through the armor of God, let it encourage you, let it build you up. Okay, but I just want to make one point on the armor of God. Why do we need the armor of God? Why do we need that metaphorical armor? Well, notice the phrase that Paul uses again and again through this part of Ephesians. He uses the phrase to stand. To stand. Right? This language, it's about defending. It's about blocking off. It's about defending the gospel. It's about defending truth. About defending ourselves when the evil one tries to swing a punch at us. It's being able to hold our guard up. It's being able to stand there and take the hit. That's what it does. What it does. Just imagine a boxer protecting their face. They can stand firm. Yeah, Anthony Joshua can stand firm against those hits that he's taking. You, of course, go into a boxing match, you go in dressed, you go in ready, you go in with your boxing gloves, you go in with the strapping. That's what we're doing when we go in with the armor of God. We're going in ready because we can defend ourselves well. We can hold ourselves well. It would be weird for Anthony Joshua to defend himself but never swing, wouldn't it? He's going to lose. He's going to lose. We'll come to curry night. Yeah, like that. There's no swinging, is there? It's all defensive. It's not what Paul wants to get across. Okay, verse 18. How do we swing punches? Verse 18. Pray in the Spirit. Pray in the Spirit. This is like. So you imagine a light bulb, when it's plugged in to electricity, that's what gives it light. That's what gets it to illuminate. And that's what's happening here. Prayer is the electricity which supercharges the armor of God. It's what allows us to swing the punches. So when and how do we fight with prayer? Well, let's see some examples that Paul gives in verse 18 to 20. Number one, about everyday things. With all kinds of prayers, it says in verse 18, with all kinds of prayers. Because we forget that we walk in spiritual battle every day, because we live in Western Britain, most of us, when I asked the question earlier, which side do you lean, disbelief or excessiveness, most of us probably lean towards disbelief because we live in Western Britain. So we forget that we walk in a spiritual battle each and every day. And I think we avoid praying for everyday things because we forget how invested God is in the small spiritual battles that we face in our lives every single day. We just forget. We think that God is a parent like I am. All right? As a parent, I've got a really good fake interested voice. So when my child comes up, oh, it's so lovely that your friend has got the same name as mummy. That's really interesting. Wow, your friend's cat's got the same name as mummy. That is amazing. That is, wow. Wow, I can't believe your teacher wears the same shoes as mummy. I can't believe that. Right, we think that that's how God's going to be. When we tell him the really pointless information of our lives, and as we share our lives with him, we think he's going to put on the fake interested voice, don't we? Right? Do you think that God's going to respond to you like this when you share everyday matters about your work colleagues, about the pressures you're feeling at work, about the pressures you feel at home, about how home life is working and functioning, or your marriage or church, or other battles that you just face in life? I don't know what they are. Praise God, he is not like me. Yeah? Thanks, Mel. Amen. I'm glad one person said amen. Praise God, he's not like me. He wants to know about the boring parts of your day. He wants to know that. He wants to know your worries. He wants to hear them from you. He wants you to tell him. Right, he wants to hear who you are afraid to talk to who are you afraid to talk about the gospel with? He wants to know. He wants to know who you're worried about inviting to a curry night. He wants to hear you chatting to him, even when you have nothing useful to say. We can fight the evil one by praying for everyday things, but also we need to be praying persistently. Verse 18 again, on all occasions, keep on praying. On all occasions, keep on praying. What is the alternative to praying? What's the alternative to praying? Luke 18 tells us, Jesus tells us in Luke 18, he's telling a parable, and this is what he says. Now he told them a parable on the need for them to pray always. And this is the alternative, and not give up. The alternative to not praying is giving up. The King James says fainting. I think it's quite a useful, I can't do it, I'm going to faint. That's what it is, though. That's a helpful way of thinking about it. If I'm not praying, I'm fainting. I'm giving up. I'm done. Paul is clear in verse 18. Continual and persistent prayer is the only alternative to giving up. If you are somebody, I say this in love, if you are somebody struggling to be missional during this preaching series or after this preaching series, if you are somebody who's just, I'm just not seeing God do much in my life, if you're avoiding inviting people to a curry night, think about, where has that come from? What is the alternative to praying? What is the alternative to praying? It's fainting, it's giving up. We're in a spiritual battle, so we should not be surprised. It should not be a surprise to us that prayer has something to do with how up for sharing the gospel that we are. It shouldn't surprise us that prayer has something to do with how missional we feel we can be. We must always pray or else we faint. We can fight by praying also for one another. Verse 18, the end of 18, praying for all the Lord's people. Praying for all the Lord's people. I've said this before, but I think it's worth mentioning again. Our faith is not solo. All right? Being in a church is about we, not me. Being in a church is not about me, but we. Say it both ways around, just because you can. We probably find it hard because it's a very un-British thing. It's a very un-British thing. But have you thought about the faith walk of those people around you? Do you know in the church, not for gossip's sake, but do you know in the church who's struggling? Who in your grace group is struggling? Do you know? Are you in a grace group? Who is finding their faith hard at the moment? Who's hating the series on mission because they're like, I don't even know if I'm a Christian? Who is it? Who is it in the church who's like that? And it's not, again, it's not gossip. It's to know them. It's to love them towards Jesus more. Galatians 6, 2, carry each other's burdens. And in this way, you will fulfill the law of Christ. We carry one another's burdens. If you are struggling, get into a group, a grace group, our small groups, and let people carry your burdens with you. And you get to carry, do you know what's really fun? You get to carry theirs as well. We get to carry one another's burdens. Church is we, not me. If you are in a grace group, share how you found this mission series. Ask people to pray for you and encourage you to step out and share the gospel with other people. And finally, Paul mentions this prayer for fearlessness in the gospel in verse 19 and 20. So that I will fearlessly make known the mystery of the gospel. Paul was not afraid to ask for prayer. Paul is a hero of faith. And if he's not afraid to ask for prayer, why the heck am I not asking for prayer? Right? We need to be asking for prayer because we need to be fearless and bold in the gospel. I think it's fair to say that if Paul needed prayer for boldness, Paul, he's a guy who got shipwrecked, he got thrown overboard, he got sent to prison, they threw stones at him. If he needs boldness, I think I might need some boldness. Right, we've explored. Right, notice though what Paul wants to be fearless in. He wants to be fearless in the gospel. Not that he can stand up and fight and be really good public speaking. No. Let's be fearless in the gospel. Jesus and his good news. That's what he wants to be fearless in. How fearless are you in Jesus and his good news? We've explored who the opposition is in our fight as Christians. And we've asked, how do we fight? How do we fight the devil? Paul is crystal clear. Yes, yeah, we are fighting evil and not people. Yes. We put on the armor of God to defend ourselves well and to stand firm. Yes, we come out swinging by praying. But look at verse 10. Finally, click on for me, that's all right. Finally, be strong in the Lord and in his mighty power. Paul knows fighting with the armor of God, fighting through prayer, defending ourselves, knowing who we're fighting is all really helpful. But Paul knows it's only possible through Christ's power displayed on the cross. That's where it all stems from. I mentioned at the beginning the idea of spiritual battles and the idea of the devil seems odd, maybe scary, maybe confusing. As I end, I want to remind you what Paul tells you. The enemy against all humanity is dead. He's done. He's finished. He's lost. Paul knew, and he wants to remind us, Jesus is the victor. Jesus is the winner. Jesus is our king. We can fight evil and not people because Christ arrested evil on the cross to unite all humanity, not to some guru, but to God himself. We can put on the armor of God because Christ has won us. We are on his team. We join his team. We can attack with prayer because when I'm praying, I know that Jesus is saying amen to my prayers. He's swinging punches as well. And his punches are way harder than mine. He's praying alongside us, with us, for us. Christ has won. Christ is our winner. So the band are going to come up and we're going to remember Christ our victor by taking communion together.